Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I've got a great guest for you today. Michelle Mazur is a messaging expert who works with brilliant business owners who are shaking things up but have trouble talking about it. She combines the tools of successful social movements with the research skills she earned in her communications PhD to help them craft their powerful, captivating message. The author of The Three-Word Rebellion, host of the Rebel Uprising podcast, and featured in Fast Company Entrepreneur and Inc., she knows that speaking what you do in a clear and captivating way is the key to reaching the people you could help the most and making more money in your business. I'm very excited to welcome Michelle to our show today.
I'm excited to be here, Belinda. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. This is going to be a fun interview, I can tell. And it's a subject that is so important, is the word choices that we use. So I cannot wait to dive into this. So why don't you just fill in the gaps of your bio a bit? Tell us about that journey. How did you end up doing what you're doing today, and how you're best serving people in today's marketplace?
Yeah. So I'm psychologically unemployable, and that's how I ended up here. But seriously, I'm an academic. So I got my PhD in communication, like over almost, no, 20 years ago, actually 20 years ago this year.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was a professor at the University of Hawaii. And although I love teaching, I love research, I didn't like the politics of being a professor. And it was really hard to live on the most isolated island in the world. I'm not going to lie, Hawaii is a beautiful place to visit. It's a hard place to live. So when I decided, I was like, you know what, I needed to go up for tenure or leave. So I decided I'm going to leave and I'm going to go into corporate. I'm going to do market research because I'm a great researcher. And so I did just that. And I worked for some amazing companies like Microsoft and General Mills and Burt's Bees and Kerrygold Butter. And I learned a ton about business and I hated every minute of it because I don't like people telling me what to do. And so one of my friends pulled me aside and said, "Hey, Michelle, do you really love market research?" And I thought, "Are you kidding me? Does anyone really love market research?" And he just said, "You know, you are so passionate and knowledgeable about communication. It's a shame that you're not sharing that with the world." So I took that to heart and I ended up starting a blog, which was a terrible blog because I'm an academic and I still was writing like one. So Ambien had nothing on the ability of my blog to put people to sleep until I had that breakthrough moment where I found my voice and got really ranty in a blog post, which led me to my first client. And at that time, I was working with speakers and helping them like craft their keynote speech, helping them with their speaker marketing. And about 4 or 5 years in, I realized that I don't love the speaking industry. I see that there's some problems. I know you're a speaker, so yeah. I see that there's some problems with the industry. And what I also noticed is that my clients were doing so much more with the messaging that I was creating for them or with them. You know, they were using it for other parts of their business. They were creating opt-ins. They were doing marketing. It became copy on their website. And I'm like, oh, I really want to help business owners who are exceptional at what they do, but they have a really hard time explaining it. And that means their marketing's not working, their copy's not working, and nobody knows about them. Yeah, they might get clients from word of mouth, but nobody knows about them. And at the same time, I developed this messaging framework called the three-word rebellion that I found out was really efficient at helping people figure out what their core message is and that message that other people can spread for them. And then it just started to snowball from there. And so now I work with those brilliant business owners who are doing something a little bit different, and they can't communicate it because they're typically so much more than a business coach or a consultant or a copywriter or a lawyer. They're just doing something different. So they need a message that actually captures the value that they're creating for their clients.
So I'm really curious, and I'm reading some of the pre-notes here about what really launched you into your business was writing a blog about how not to be a motivational speaker. That's pretty incredible. So I'm really curious about, because I think I try to do the things that I don't like in other speakers. Like, I listened to tons of them. So I just am really curious at what are the things that you really don't care for in motivational speakers.
Well, let me tell you how that blog post got its inspiration.
Okay.
I was actually at an event, and we went to see the keynote speaker, and we're in this room, and she has the order forms sitting on our chairs. So we pick those up and we put them in our laps. And she comes out and she says to us, "Everybody stand up." And so we're good audience members. We all stand up. And then she said, "Now clap." So we're standing there clapping for her. And then I'll never forget what she said next. It was, "You have given me a standing ovation. Ugh. And now I must earn it." And I had never felt so manipulated in my life. And let me tell you what, she did not earn that standing ovation. And in fact, the woman who was sitting next to me took the order form and started ripping it up super slowly. Like, I never have heard paper rip that loudly before. And I spent the rest of the time like just writing about like why that's manipulative. And there was a few other things that she was doing. She was being very aggressive with people in the audience, like getting in their faces and being like, "Why aren't you living the life you want to live?" And I'm like, whoa, like, this is not okay. Like, manipulating your audience, being in their face, accusing them when you don't know anything about them. Like, none of this is okay.
Right.
And yeah, so those were some of the things I saw that day.
I've seen that myself when people do the whole stand up now. I've gotten a standing ovation, and you're like, I'm kind of funny that way. I don't like to waste precious time that I could be imparting knowledge to someone on things that are foolish, like things that don't have any impact whatsoever. Like, that has no impact other than negative, right? I see other people doing the same thing and getting super aggressive with an audience when in reality, I used to play off my audience and asking questions. And then I even found that waste really important time that I could be giving them a really great idea. And so I'm with you on that. And I hate the take that order form and now put an X through that. And it's not this price today, it's this price today. And so many people gave me advice on that. And I thought, no, I'm not doing that because it didn't really feel good. But I also know that I always bring value, and people always told me, "You bring too much value." Because another thing that a lot of speakers do, and I'm sure you've seen, is, "Oh, and if you buy my book, you'll hear the rest of the story. And if you get that, you'll get the rest of the information." And it's like, I just give it to them. And then people are like, you're killing yourself in sales. And I'm like, I've got one of the highest back of the room sales of anybody I know because people saw such great value. They're like, I want to hear this again and again and again.
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of like the big lies of speaking is that, oh, we've always got to be so precious with our information and hold things back. Right. Otherwise, people won't buy. And I mean, and the real deal is, you know, there's studies out there that show that we forget within 24 hours, 90% of what a person said to us,
right,
like from the stage or when they're teaching. So of course, if you've given them real value and real transformation, they're going to want to document that in a book that you're selling, right? They want to have something they can grab onto. So I don't think we need to be so like precious and secretive with our knowledge and expertise.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about then how has the business shaped your lifestyle today? So what's it look like today now that you have finally sort of found your way as to what you love doing?
Yeah. Well, number one, I'm in control of my time, which I think was like the biggest problem that I had in corporate, less so as a professor, because, you know, you pretty much had to show up to teach and do office hours. And then the time was yours for how you wanted to spend it doing research and such. But it's like I've taken back my time. I'm able to work from home. I do so much better working in a quiet environment. Like even at home, I mean, my husband's in another room working, but like I'm wearing noise canceling headphones. So like being able to be in a space that allows me to be truly productive, to go out for walks during the day, to play with my cats during the day, or get them off my lap when I'm on a Zoom call because one is obsessively Zoom bombing all of my calls, but it just allows me to do my best work because I get to choose my environment.
Absolutely. So let's talk about one of your most outstanding accomplishments. So what is something that you've achieved in your career that's just super meaningful for you?
Yeah. I was listening to your podcast yesterday and this question, I was like, oh, that is such a good question. And for me, it's really goes back to earning my PhD. Like that was meaningful because I was obsessed with communication and speaking from high school when I really sucked at it. Like I was a terrible speaker and I just wanted to learn everything I could about it and about how we communicate and how we process information and how we're persuaded and really like learning those theories, being able to do my own research and, you know, create studies and experiments, like all of that still informs my work today, because each client I work with, they're kind of like my own research project where I'm trying to find out all I can about them, ask great questions to them so that I can get to that core message. So for me, the PhD, I mean, and plus I also came from a background where you would never have expected me to get a PhD. Like no one in my family really had higher education.
Okay.
So I was the first to get a master's degree and then to go on and get a PhD. So it's just, it was foundational for my life and my work.
That's really that's inspiring that is how you still feel about it. So I love that. And I'm sure it's helped you in every aspect of your career today.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yes, there's the credibility piece, but really being able to critically think. And I know that sounds like so basic, like, oh, well, I have critical thinking skills, but problem solving in business or looking at a client's business and figuring out like, okay, well, why isn't this message working the way you want it to work? Let's really dive in and think through this. And also the idea of like, everything's an experiment.
Right, absolutely. So in polar opposite to that, and I'd love if you have a story to sort of share with us on that, but what is a challenge or where did a roadblock that you hit in your career or a challenge that you had with a particular client and how did you overcome that?
So it was 2016. I think it was soon after the election. And I was still doing a podcast called The Rebel Speaker because I was still working with speakers. And I recorded my last podcast for the year. And Melinda, I just thought to myself, like, I can't do this anymore. I can't talk about speaking. I can't talk about getting speaking gigs or how to make money speaking. I've said all I wanted to say, and this is soulless work for me. Like, it wasn't, there was no meaning in it anymore. And that is a big crossroads to be at, to be like, okay, so I've built my business around this thing, and now I don't want to do it anymore. And how am I going to make money and how am I going to pivot? And luckily this was, you know, during the holidays, Christmas time, being an academic, I always take the 2 weeks at Christmas completely off because it's such a, I love Christmas and it's rejuvenating. And that's when I was really sitting with like, well, what's next for me? And it was through a lot of journaling. And I also think my skill at spotting patterns that I had the breakthrough of the three-word rebellion. It was a very strange experience because I felt like there was something big that wanted to come through, like a new idea, something big. And I couldn't grasp it for months. And I think it's because I was doing all like the stuff that I hated, still talking about speaking, that I was burned out on. Mm-hmm. And I just decided, I was like, okay, like I'm going to create space. And then the idea came through where I was like looking at social movements like Black Lives Matter and Me Too. And I was looking at my favorite entrepreneurs like Simon Sinek and Start With Why or Mel Robbins and the 5 Second Rule. And I'm like, wow. These two groups do something similar. Like they have a compelling message about the change they're creating. So what if I took these social movement questions and gave them to my clients to like free write on and wonder if I could find their message this way? And thankfully, my clients are always game for something new. So I started experimenting with it and it worked. And that was, you know, the precipice for pivoting my business into messaging. That's how the three-word rebellion was born, was through that struggle of like, I can't do this anymore, and asking, well, what could be next?
So I'm sure that that was scary a bit. I'm guessing, because especially when you've done something for a very long time and you're good at it. And you're known for it, then it's like, gosh, how am I breaking out of this? But tell us a little bit more about three-word rebellion. Like what, tell us a little bit about that, what that means exactly, and what kinds of things you're doing today.
Yeah, so a three-word rebellion is a one-of-a-kind message that positions you as that go-to in the mind of your right client. And it's a message that is meant for other people to spread because it is a message that makes people curious about your work. So for instance, we talked about Start With Why. That's a great three-word rebellion because you think, I should start with my why. Well, what is my why? And it makes you think, which is what we want people to do with our work, is to make them think. So I've been working with the three-word rebellion and creating all the messaging that supports it for about 4 years now. And I've created some, like, helped clients create some great ones, like my client Michelle Evans, who was doing a podcast called The Marketing Funnel Show. We did like the process of the free writing and what are you rebelling against and what's the change you want to create. And we came up with Profit Without Worry. And she implemented that one change, the title change, to her podcast, and it quadrupled her downloads overnight because it was a message people wanted to hear, that they wanted to know more about. And really, that's the core of my work, is creating that super succinct, and it can be 2 to 5 words, message that encapsulates the result, the change you're creating for your clients.
That's great. So when I sat down and really tried to figure out what the title of this podcast was going to be, there was pages of thoughts and notes that went into it. It was not just a bam. And so I really wanted to do something about the people that do the work that they absolutely love so that it doesn't feel like work. And then what does that mean to be, you know, working from your happy place? And it's so interesting because it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Like when I ask that question, I get lots of different answers. But when you hear that, I just want to see, how do I stand up against your sort of quiz that you would do for people?
No, I think it's a very strong 3-word rebellion, because actually, like when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's a great name for a podcast, because it makes you think, like, well, what does working from your happy place mean? And what does that mean for me? Or what does that look like for me? Because I'm sure when you ask people that question, you get so many different answers. And just listening to your podcast, I was like, I know my answer was radically different from some of the other people who've been on your show. So I do think it creates that curiosity. And what I love that you said is that you had pages and pages of notes trying to come up with this message. And that's exactly what my process is. It's about getting your ideas out of your head and onto paper where we can actually deal with them. And then, I mean, you can do it yourself, or you can work with me to like sort through and really see, what are the patterns here? What are the interesting turns of phrase? Because your 3-word rebellion, that core message already exists. It's just buried.
Agreed. And I think from doing what I do for so long, I have sort of practices and abilities and coaching skills that allow me to work through that myself. But I can tell you what, that is something that most people have a tremendous difficult time doing. And I think getting help in doing that, because it's so important, because it ends up being what people hear and how they think of you and how they see you. And like you said, that girl who had instant downloads, more downloads right after that. It's pretty amazing, because the rewards can be pretty instantaneous in a lot of times, in a lot of cases, or it makes or breaks the difference of the launch when you've, I can't tell you how many clients that I work with, even with like, how'd you come up with this name of your company? And to me, it doesn't represent, or it doesn't, when I hear it, give me a visual in my brain of like, oh gosh, what? I want to go check that out. And it's always something crazy, like, oh, it's the first name of my, you know, daughter and my cat, and then where I grew up in this town. And it's like, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. Like, what are you doing? Like, I just, oh my gosh, I want to pull my hair out sometimes, like how people come up with names for their company, when it's like, people, if they go searching, they're not going to search for your cat's name. Like, that's not going to occur to them to Google that.
Exactly. And then it's like, yeah, then they can't find you. And
exactly.
Or you're doing the launch and you can't describe your work. And I know for me, like, even coming up with the 3-word rebellion, like, I didn't do that on my own. I actually was having a conversation with a book coach named Jenny Nash, and I was telling her about this idea because it was still in its nascent stage. And she's like, oh my gosh, she's like, this is amazing, and you should write a book about it. She's like, yeah, it can be something like the 3-word speech. And I was like, I like the 3-word. I want to break free from speaking. And then I sat with it, and I'm like, wait a minute. My company's Communication Rebel. It's the 3-word rebellion. It's right there.
Right.
And but I needed her to start me off with that, oh, it's like the three-word speech. I was like, oh, that's such a great idea. And it does. Like, people want a three-word rebellion. They want to know what their three words are. And I'm the only person that you can go to for that.
That's awesome. So now we're to our signature question, which is, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
To me, it's having deep, meaningful conversations with my clients. Like, because the work that I do, it's like being a thought partner or sometimes a business therapist because I'm getting really curious and asking deep questions. And I love to hear like the wheels turning in my client's mind and helping them see their work in a whole different way and remind them that their work matters in the world.
That is great. I think that for a lot of people, I find that there's about five, and they frame them a little bit differently, but the people that really, really do love what they do, they get their greatest amount of joy in helping others.
Mm-hmm.
That is a pattern that we have seen.
Yes. I totally agree with that, because that's what lights me up is being able to have these conversations with people.
So what advice would you give to others that are, and I'm going to put themselves maybe in your shoes. And one of the things I loved, and I just feel like I've got to say this, is, and I'd really love to hear your thoughts on it. So when that gentleman said, or whoever it was that said to you, you know, do you really like what you're doing here in market research? And you're like, no. And he's like, you should be doing this. And so then you're like, oh, because that was a pivotal point in your career as well, even before the 2016 sort of, you know, pivotal moment. Was it his idea or belief in you, or what was it that made you say, yep, that's what I'm going to do?
I think it was him reflecting back to me that I had left my original purpose far behind, that I wasn't doing anything. And I was, you know, it was interesting. Even when I was in market research, I was helping people like create presentations and sales decks and all of that, because I was good at figuring out like, okay, what do they need to hear in order to get buy-in? But yeah, it was just kind of that, almost a punch in the gut of like, Michelle, you are not living into your purpose. You know you're here because communication matters and you want to help more people communicate better. And it was, yeah, for me, it was just that reminder of like, oh, yeah, I've strayed. I'm off the path.
The reason I bring that up is I think it's so important for all of us to not be shy in speaking to others, especially people that are close to us or people that we see something in or care about, is not to be shy in saying, you know, here's how I see you, or that you really have, you know, this is where your strengths are, this is how I see your strengths, because it can really make such an incredible difference when you know someone else sort of believes in you, sees your talents, and is pointing out sometimes things that you can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah, I think that is – it's so key to have people in your life that can just tell it as it is or say like, I see this great talent in you and I don't see you using it the way you should be.
Right. Absolutely. So to others then, wanting to pivot, you know, really just kind of, they're just either tired, bored, unsatisfied. Maybe it is from doing something for a really long time. Maybe it's being in corporate and wanting to sort of take on this entrepreneurial leg or a journey, and maybe in addition to that. But what advice would you give for someone who is sort of at this crossroads?
Yeah, I would say don't be afraid to explore what could be next, like opening yourself up to possibility, number one. And then if you have that established business, or even if you're getting out of a 9-to-5, like you don't have to do it all at once. It's not like, mm-hmm. let's burn down your business or go and quit your job. Like when I pivoted from working with speakers to doing the brand messaging and marketing work that I do now for clients, it was a slow progression. I worked with speakers still that year while I was also doing Three Word Rebellion work. Like, and I brought my audience, my existing audience, on the journey with me to tell them, like, what's going on? Hey, I have this new idea. Come to this training and let me know what you think about it. This is what I'm going to be doing from here on out. If it's not for you, you can just leave my email community. And I was just very transparent with the process because I didn't know if it was going to work or not. I just knew that something needed to change. And so just by taking those small steps to get the work out into the world was the best thing that I could have done. So you don't have to like burn down your business or close everything down or quit your job. But what is that next little step that you can take towards that pivot?
Absolutely. And one of the things you said, I think, is so critical. And I've had several other people on our show that have, you know, said the same, but it is get others' opinions. Like you took your current client base and said, hey, let me do some of these exercises with you. What do you think about this concept? What do you think about this idea? You can even do that with a product and sort of have that, mm-hmm. you know, group of people, whether it's a think tank or whatever you want to call it, just a group of friends like, hey, I need to run this by you. What do you think of this idea? And it's so interesting to me because you can get such incredible feedback. And just even tweaking something out. I do it all the time. I'm like, I've got an idea here. I want to throw this out. And my idea might have started out as one thing. And then it morphs as they say, oh, I don't know about that. I love that part of it, but I'm not sure about that part of it. But what if you did this? And then I'm like, oh my God, I love it. Like, I totally love that. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think there's so much fear. And so people take a product or an idea or whatever to market because they don't want the feedback up front, they're fearful, but then they turn around and don't get the result that they want. And then they end up not getting where they want to be anyway. It's just so much better to really get that feedback and put something out there before you go really run with an idea or a product or do a short run with a product.
Yes. You know, honestly, like this goes into my market research, like asking your people who are already there, like what do they want out of this? Like one of my most, I do this workshop called Marketing Uprising that was created from a survey that I did of my audience because I was like, I really want to teach. I really want to do a workshop. What would you want from me? And 50 out of 70 people were like, yeah, we want some kind of marketing plan from you. And I'm like, oh, well, I would have never thought about that, but I'm a great planner. I can deliver that. And like I was able to create something in conjunction with my people, and it's just far more powerful mm-hmm. and effective. You end up writing much better copy because you know exactly what they're struggling with. So yeah, always asking your people and getting that feedback and taking it to heart, it's game changing.
Absolutely. So, Michelle, what kind of new and exciting things are you working on that you think our listeners could benefit from?
So right now I'm working on a revision, or I guess it's an expanded version of the Three Word Rebellion book along with an audio book because people keep asking me for audio books. So I am working on that and also just noodling on my own process and how I work with clients in the Three Word Rebellion intensive to make it more, I want to say more streamlined, but I think since the work I do is very creative, less energy intensive for me, but still gets the same result. So I'm working on that as well.
Very good. Well, it has been a pleasure having you on the show today. And can you tell our listeners how they can find you?
Yeah. So if you want to connect with me directly, the best place to do that is Instagram. I'm at Dr. Michelle Mazur. And my website is drmichellemazur.com. And if you want to get a taste of what the three-word rebellion is all about, you can get basically a taster of it at threewordrebellion.com.
Perfect. Well, once again, thank you. And to all of our listeners, thank you for being here today. We appreciate you so much. If you haven't subscribed to the show, hit that button, subscribe so you don't miss an awesome episode of our amazing entrepreneurs that we have. And share us with a friend, because that is the greatest compliment that we can actually get, is when you enjoy the show, share it with a friend who will in turn listen to some great interviews also. So until next time, continue to work from your happy place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.